This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Plenty of sunshine today. It's 37 degrees, and we're looking at 1 or 2 inches of snow overnight.
Well, the markets are mixed on the Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob and Chris, the Dow is higher by 42 points. We're at 26,222. NASDAQ lower by 31 points or 0.4%, and the S&P off 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 0.3%. Investors are anxious to hear what the Federal Reserve has to say. That comes an announcement in about an hour. The thinking on interest rates is that there won't be one this time around, but for the next one, there will. Investors are also selling some tech shares. Facebook, Apple, Google parent Alphabet are all among the leading losers. Now, jobless claims dropped last week. They fell to 214,000, just below the prior week's tally. The labor market continues to make steady progress. Crude oil futures down another 1% and falling below $61 now. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, what do the results of this week's midterm races mean to your finances? And as Elisa is, we too are waiting to hear from the Fed on a possible rate hike.
And then in Technology Thursday, we'll talk about China's social credit system. If you watch the TV show Black Mirror, it may remind you of a plot line from that program. And then Phil Flynn will join us to talk about the state of the oil market, how traders will do, and how you can do at the gas pump.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Two major car companies are making moves into the scooter and bicycle markets. We're going to cover that in our next segment. Right now, the Fed is set to release its latest announcement on interest rates in less than an hour. We are joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the book Understanding Central Banking in Denver. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, David. What are you expecting to hear from the Fed?
I think the Fed's going to be quiet today. No rate hike. Remember back in September, they went up to a federal funds rate level of 2 to 2.25%. They'll keep rates unchanged at this meeting today. And then I think they'll go up another quarter point in December, which would leave us at the end of the year at 2.25 to 2.50% on that funds rate.
Let's go back to the beginning and explain simply for us why the Fed would go forward or why the Fed would hold tight.
It's a process of, it's a big word that the Fed uses, normalization. What the Fed's trying to do with this very hot economy is at least get the target rate that the Fed uses, the federal funds rate, up to what they think is normal, and it's around 3%. So they still have a ways to go just to get to be sort of neutral or normal in that funds rate. And Powell is determined to get there in a fairly short term, on a fairly short term basis. So it's not a process of feeling that they have to push rates up beyond normal into tightening territory. They're not of that mind. The danger would be, of course, that if they go that far and that fast, it would hurt the stock market and the economy. So they're just trying to get to neutral, but they're determined to do so.
Any, on the timing, is there anything to read into the fact that they're having these deliberations 2 days after the election and not, say, a week ago today?
Exactly. I think they deliberately wanted to postpone these deliberations until after the midterm elections so that they could not be accused in any way of being political. The Fed at least tries to stay away from that taint of being political. So and they deliberately moved this meeting to this point. It's also interesting that I certainly don't expect them to do anything eye-shocking at this meeting.
Has that been the case throughout history that the Federal Reserve has really been adamant about trying to stay out of the way of the political calendar so they can't be seen as putting their thumb on the scale one way or the other?
That's exactly right. They'd like to stay independent of the White House. Of course, President Trump has already criticized Fed Chairman Powell for raising rates to the point that he already has. But the Fed likes to stay independent. I think Powell is more of an old-fashioned central banker in the sense that he is going to stay independent of what the president thinks. And once again, his determination is just to get to neutral, where the Fed funds rate neither stimulates nor depresses the economy, and that's where he's going to go no matter what the president says.
Well, the economy has been getting pretty good numbers in recent months. Do you expect anything from the Fed on that this afternoon?
Not much. I think the Fed will emphasize exactly as your question suggests, a very good economy. Powell, in his testimony, has emphasized how strong, I think he used the word strength like five times in the first paragraph of his policy statement after that September meeting. He sees a very strong economy. I think we might cool off a little bit in the fourth quarter. Remember, we had two great quarters, 4.2% GDP growth in the second quarter, 3.5 in the third quarter. Those are spectacular back-to-back quarters. I think we might drop into a, let's say, a 2.5 to 3% growth range in the fourth quarter, but that's still going to give us a very good year of around 3%. So, all things considered, we're looking at a good economy. But I think what the Fed wants to do once it gets to neutral is to sort of look around and see what the economic horizon is. So, therefore, next year, the market, I think, is looking for three rate hikes. Maybe we'll only get a couple of them once the Fed gets to neutral, and then it might go on hold for a while.
David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors and author of the book, Understanding Central Banking, based in Denver, Colorado. Ivan Drury, our auto guy, coming up next on WBBM.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is acquiring scooter-sharing startup Spin, while GM has recently unveiled two electric bikes that will go on sale next year. Let's find out what's behind the strategy from Ivan Drury, who's a senior analyst at Edmunds, based in Los Angeles. Ivan, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about Ford getting into the Spin business. Are they buying a Spin because they see this as a growth opportunity, or the conspiratorial part of my mind things, or are they buying it just to shut it down?
Well, I think that you can have it of two minds, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are looking at this as automakers are trying to reposition themselves into this idea of mobility, whether it be on foot, on bike, you know, whatever it comes down to, and positioning themselves to take advantage of something like this, like these scooters, investing in autonomous. These all kind of go hand in hand with the idea that, you know, you're moving from point A to point B. The only question is, how are you going to do it?
So is this, if Ford is looking at the world of transportation in the year 2050, your self-driving car will take you long distances, it'll drop you off at the bike sharing station, and then that'll get you to your destination, and Ford will take care of you the entire way.
Exactly. They want to take you on that entire ride, right? You're talking about the different distances involved, the different manners in which you will complete these trips. And, you know, each one has its own pluses and minuses. And I think that that's where we're seeing it really trying to attack the idea of, you know, getting from point A to point B in the most efficient manner, because really hopping in the car for a 5-block trip, not that fun in congested cities.
The millennials, of course, would be attracted to this form of transport, and the baby boomers might see themselves in it, but they won't be able to do it. And so how expensive is this going to be for the rider and for the business?
I think for the businesses, I mean, there's definitely, you know, that sunk cost. You immediately have to start purchasing these. The systems involved from IT perspective, all of that comes into play right away. But, you know, they gather data from usage. They can see where people are traveling. They can also see a lot of things that they wouldn't normally see. So there's also that other aspect the automakers get out of this. As far as for riders who are using these, I've generally reported that they are saving a good amount of money and they're saving a lot of time. But, you know, like you're saying, depending on what generation you are, these also can be kind of accident prone depending on how fast you're going, what the weather's like, things of that nature too.
Ivan, thanks for joining us for a few minutes. Ivan Drury is senior analyst at Edmonds in Los Angeles. Still ahead, Technology Thursday, a move by the Chinese government that has an Orwellian feel to it.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business, powered by ComEd's Energy Efficiency Program. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob, not the gains we saw earlier. The Dow is higher by just 20 points now. We're right at 26,200. And the NASDAQ is lower by 39 points, or 0.5%. S&P down 7. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg still up 0.25%. Qualcomm is feeling the fallout from its legal dispute with Apple. The biggest maker of chips used in smartphones has come out with a weak sales forecast for the current quarter. Apple decided earlier this year not to use Qualcomm chips in the latest iPhones. The two companies are in a battle over licensing, and Qualcomm shares are sinking more than 7%. No relief for crude oil futures. They're down again today, sliding 1.25% and falling below $61 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And at the Chicago Board today, we had USDA come out at 11 with their numbers. And on USDA numbers, for the U.S., things were up, and then they brought in world numbers, which included some questionable numbers out of China, where China found 150 million metric tons more of corn for the last 3 years. That pushed corn down 6 at one time after being up 6. Corn at the moment is down 1.5. On beans, we're down 6.5 after being down 13. And a lot of the down movement due to these Chinese numbers. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are sluggish today. We'll shine the spotlight on Wall Street.
Oil is trading lower again, and industry analysts will join us to talk about where the market's heading.
In Technology Thursday, China has started ranking citizens with a social credit system that's being described by some observers as creepy.
A new national veteran cemetery is being proposed for the northwest suburbs.
And the gunman who killed 12 people in a California bar has been identified as a former Marine who served in Afghanistan.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials are up 25, the NASDAQ down 50, S&P 500 down by 9.
Cloudy and cold today, but we do have some sunshine downtown. A high today of 41. Snow arrives tonight. Could see 1 to 2 inches by tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 37 degrees in Chicago, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the markets are mixed at this hour. We're joined by Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood. Thanks for joining us today, Chuck. We had seen such big highs and low lows on the markets in the last week or so. Today looks a little boring, actually.
That's right. Well, after being hit on the head in both directions with a big market sell-off in October, and the big run-up yesterday, quiet is good.
So let's take a look at what you're thinking about the markets right now. Where are the opportunities?
Well, there are lots of opportunities. In our judgment, the big sell-off in October was inappropriate, so we were buyers of that. And even with the big run-up yesterday, we're still buyers. Market valuations are actually pretty attractive. At the low, if you exclude just the four FANG stocks, the P/E multiple based on 2019 earnings was under 13, which is astonishingly cheap. So there are lots of values around. You just have to be disciplined and go after the ones that are cheap.
And we're seeing that the biggest buyers are the owners are buying back shares. So that gives us an idea that if they're buying back their shares, we want to at least take a look at that.
Right. And it's really interesting to do a contrast between how retail investors are playing it and the managers of corporations. Retail investors are pretty consistent sellers. And whenever the market goes down, they tend to increase their selling. And that's exactly what happened in October. And at the end of October, retail was a seller. Managers, on the other hand, have been buying back their stocks. They realize that valuations are cheap. They have tremendous cash flow. Corporate profits are coming in very, very strongly. We just pretty much finished off third quarter earnings, and the numbers came in even better than we were looking for, and companies are swimming in cash. So they're putting that that cash to work, and one of their favorite ways to do it is to buy back their own stock because they know the companies very well.
How do you think the markets are going to react long-term to a divided government starting in January?
Well, Rob, you know, that sounds like a good question, but it really depends on what that divided government does with respect to policy. So the Fed operates on its own, largely independent of who's in charge in Washington. And the Fed recognizes that the economy is doing very well. The labor market's getting tighter, wage pressures are rising, and therefore they have to continue to hike interest rates. On fiscal policy, that's where you're likely to see gridlock. And it'll be interesting to see whether there's a trade possible between the administration, between Trump and Pelosi, the Democrats, whether or not they each have something that the other wants, they could do a swap and come to a deal. I'm skeptical, like probably most people.
And then, and this may take years for the political scientists to really do the scholarship on this, but we're 11 months removed from a massive tax cut bill that was signed into law by Congress, something at the time that the pundits thought Republicans could run on and then win in the midterm elections. And then by the time November rolled around, it barely made a ripple. How is that going to affect, you know, tax cut legislation in the future if it's not really much of a political motivator as it might have been 15 years ago or 40 years ago?
Well, I think it really has its impact through the effects on the economy. So what we've seen is the economy do well. I think that has been a positive for shoring up Trump's base. Because they have a much easier time finding jobs, getting paid, wage rates are going up. And, of course, the Democrats have basically tried to counter that by arguing that not everyone is participating in the expansion and so on. I'll leave that to the politicians and the academics to figure out what the implications are. I have the much, much easier job of just analyzing companies and trying to figure out if their stocks are cheap or expensive.
Yeah, it's an enviable position to be in.
Right. And there's so many opportunities. So we expect rates to rise. We expect more stock buybacks. One way to play that is to look at some of the financials, like the big banks. We see them as very, very attractive, whether it's J.P. Morgan, Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, all four of them look very attractive to us, and we expect all of them to be big-time buyers of their own stock. And then for someone who needs income, they could look at some of the pipelines, because the U.S. is now the largest single producer of crude oil in the world. We actually surpassed Saudi Arabia and Russia last month, over 12 million barrels of oil production per day. And the pipes have got to carry it. And the problem is that we don't have enough pipes. So there's going to be a fair amount of investing in that space, a fair amount of growth. And it's a pretty nice, stable business with very, very attractive payouts for people who need income.
Thanks for all the information today. Chuck Lieberman is Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Ahead, Technology Thursday and how China's finding ways to dig into the private lives of citizens.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The Chinese government is implementing what may be best described as a Big Brother system with a decided 1984 feel. Let's learn more from Paul Hochman, who is the president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, welcome back to the program. You get this... Not too long ago, there was a viral video that went around on Twitter of a warning on a Chinese high-speed train telling people that if they ignored the conductor's orders, they would lose credit under this social credit system. And it seems like that was when people here became familiar with that. So explain what the social credit system is.
Right. The social credit system is set up to be completely broad-based. In other words, every single Chinese citizen, billions of folks, by 2020 will be subject to this system. And what it does is, using cameras, apps, and all sorts of other, what we would certainly call intrusive things, it monitors social behavior. Everything from bad driving, smoking in a non-smoking area, buying too many video games, posting fake news, leaving your trash out. I mean, things that are sort of standard foibles on the part of what we would say now add up to a credit score. If it's a negative credit score, huge impact on your personal life. If you're a Chinese citizen, your internet speeds could get slowed down at home. They might not let you on a train or a plane. If you have a bad social credit score, your kid might not get into a university. So the impact on these decisions that you make, sometimes normal sort of human decisions, is vast, especially obviously here in the situation in China.
The situation which you describe is very similar to that Black Mirror episode where the guy had to ride his bike all day to earn more social credit in some dystopian future. What is the thinking behind this? What is the Chinese government what do they hope to accomplish here?
Well, there's two levels. One is when you have that many people, you have real problems if they start to disagree with you. In other words, if the central government, run by President Xi, is suddenly upset with behavior on the part of masses of Chinese citizens, well, guess what? The Chinese citizens outnumber the folks running the government, so that they're worried about control. So this is really what their goal is to make sure that there is not unrest as Xi takes more and more what some would call draconian control of the system. So if people are upset about it and they lose social credit, real impact on them, so there's an incentive for everybody to behave. Remember that the real emphasis socially in China is on the collective, on how people together, not individually, but collectively manage. I'm reminded of a Nike ad where they had a gold medalist hurdler in the Athens Olympics in 2004 named Liu Xiang. He won a gold medal, and the Nike ad in the United States showed him beating the other hurdlers. In China, the very same picture, all the other hurdlers went away, and you saw Liu Xiang, lifted up by millions of Chinese citizens. So in China, the emphasis is on the collective, so that's exactly what they're after, to control the collective.
And if you want to leave, are you able to leave the country?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Worst behavior, not getting on a plane, you're not getting on a train. It gets down to the individual. They will literally, in this new system, and this is documented, take away your dog if your social points get lowered too much. For example, if your dog has walked without a leash and so forth. So it's hard to even comprehend from a Western perspective, but it's happening everywhere within China.
All right. Thanks for all the information. Paul Hochman is president of Humongous Media. And join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, when we learn about the growing applications of augmented reality. And still to come, could lower gas prices be a trend?
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, oil may be in a bear market by now. It was getting there very pretty quickly. Let's get an update from Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst, Price Group, and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. Tell us the situation with oil, Phil.
It's in a free fall. It really is. I mean, we have basically fallen, from, a raging bull market to a bear market in less than a month. And the concern, of course, right now is an oversupply. And I think in a big way, some people are calling this the Donald Trump sell-off. And the reason why they're doing that, a few months ago, we were worried about, getting no oil out of Iran. We're going to put tough sanctions on these guys. He got OPEC to raise production, U.S. energy producers to raise production to make up for this lost supply. And then he granted waivers and allowed people to keep buying oil from Iran. And so all of a sudden, the mood of the market changed from a market where we thought we would be undersupplied going into winter for these supplies to being undersupplied. And the market has really taken a beating on this perception that we're going to have plenty of supply.
What does it mean for consumers?
For consumers on the gasoline front, it's great. We're seeing the lowest prices since last April, and that's a great thing. For the oil producers, on the other hand, not such a great thing. We just got a report last week that the U.S. energy producers are producing a record amount of oil, over 12 million barrels a day. They're the biggest producer in the world. But the problem is if prices keep plummeting like this, they're not going to be able to maintain that level of production. So it's kind of a, you know, some people win, some people lose in this situation, and not a good day for, if you're an oil producer.
However, if you need some more money for buying presents this holiday season, paying less at the gas pump will certainly help. How long do you think this is going to last?
I think that the price of gasoline is going to stay low for the holiday, Rob. And you make a great point. You know, people don't realize the demand for gasoline and jet fuel, for that matter, is going to be at a record high. We're already hearing that this is going to be the biggest travel holiday ever. So definitely good news if you're going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house because your gas prices are going to stay low. I don't know about your heating bills, though. Heating supplies are below average, and if we get a cold winter, those prices could actually spike.
Well, thank you very much, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group and Fox Business News contributor based in Chicago. You will find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at business news. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by just 7 points now at 26,187. NASDAQ sinking 46 points or 0.2%. S&P just barely above 2,800, losing 8 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg still up about 0.1%. The party is over for cannabis stocks. They spiked yesterday when now former Attorney General Jeff Sessions departed the Trump administration. Sessions was a major opponent of marijuana legalization. Well, now those stocks are down as reports say another legalization opponent is being considered for the job, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Sprint has been slowing traffic to Microsoft's video chat service Skype. That's according to a study by Northeastern University and the University of Massachusetts. Among leading U.S. carriers, Sprint was the only one to throttle Skype, the study found, and the throttling was detected in 34% of close to 2,000 tests. It happened regularly and was spread geographically across the U.S. Android phone users were more affected. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Sponsored by Baird.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.